Loving a narcissist is very difficult, and honestly, it hurts. If you're being honest, your love for them probably runs deep down to the core of who you are, or at least it used to. They are or were a part of you because of it. You love with your heart and your soul, with every part of your being. Sometimes they confuse you, though, because they can be so mean and so hurtful. No matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to get through to them. They always seem to have some issue with you. And even when you think you have finally figured it out, how exactly you're gonna make everything okay for them or with them, they never fail to hurt and disappoint you. Sadly, despite your sincerity and your genuine desire to make them happy, they can't even seem to muster up a little politeness for you, much less actual love. You might even start to wonder if you're the problem. Well, I'm here to tell you that not only are you not the problem, but that the narcissist in your life is unquestionably the problem. Narcissists have this way of exploiting your need for connection. See, as humans, we are wired to connect with other humans. In fact, according to scientist Matthew Lieberman, author of the 2013 book Social, it is as necessary for us as food and water. He notes that social pain, as in being snubbed or having someone say hurtful things to you in a social setting, can be as real to us as physical pain. Lieberman points out that phrases such as "that breaks my heart" or "that hurts my feelings" are cultural evidence of the fact that emotional pain is so significant. What happens all too often is that we get so wrapped up in these toxic relationships that we miss something really big, and that's the fact that narcissists have this way of pushing people away from us. We are kept away from people in our lives who might either take our attention away from the narcissist, or worse, those who might support us against them once we realize exactly what we're dealing with.
Some relationships nourish you. They lift you up. They make you feel like you matter. They're good relationships. And then you know how there are those relationships that just sort of suck everything right out of you, all of your peace, all of your calm, all of your happiness, all of your optimism. These relationships can involve emotional vampires. They drain you. They make you feel completely exhausted. Your physical energy, your emotional energy, and so much more. And when they get really bad, they make you think that you're unworthy, that no one could love you because you are in fact not lovable. And then there are those who do the little subtle digs to make you feel bad about yourself and intentionally target those areas where you are the most sensitive just to hurt you. And of course, we all know that dealing with an emotional vampire will most certainly lead you to doubt your self-worth, to think you don't matter, you don't belong. To put it in a nutshell, an emotional vampire is someone who kind of sucks your energy. You will find that they will do things to anger you or upset you or make your life harder. And when you react, they almost seem to enjoy it.
The painful truth is that a narcissist just can't love you back because they're not capable of actual love. In fact, while they might understand the concepts of love and empathy on some level, the truth is that they can't feel these things because in many cases, the emotional development, it stops during toddlerhood for narcissists. And at best, you're probably looking at an emotional preteen. In any case, this lends to their extremely egocentric nature and their lack of concern for the feelings of you and anyone else. Without intense healing and therapy to address their core wound, as it were, narcissists will never be able to grasp the concepts of unconditional love or empathy for other people. While we might not like it, our well-being as humans is literally directly affected in profound ways by our connections to other people. Social pain is real pain. So not connecting can be as detrimental to our physical and mental health as not eating healthy food. And this is confirmed by the Canadian Mental Health Association, which notes in a 2019 report that connecting with other people is far more important than we might think. In fact, we are told that social connection can lower anxiety and depression, help us regulate our emotions, lead to higher self-esteem and empathy, and actually improve our immune systems. So literally, by not connecting with other people, we put our health at risk. In other words, the evidence shows that we need to connect with people in order to be relatively healthy.
Have you ever seen someone smirk when you felt upset or angry or seem to kind of enjoy your rage? That's one example of an emotional vampire.
They will suck the life out of you. They are people with no accountability for their own emotional experience, and they rely on others to take the blame to sort of fix things. They tend to be moody people who basically need you to be the one to set the emotional tone and fix everything emotionally for them so that you are left fully responsible for all the emotional needs of the relationship.
So what are some signs of an emotional vampire? Number one, they feel like people really don't get them and just couldn't possibly understand their problems, which are far too complex for the average person. Number two, they act like they have no control over their own lives. They act like everything happens to them.
If they're in a bad mood, they need you to pick them up. If they're in a good mood, they need you to go with that good mood and not do anything to cross that good mood.
They act like a victim at all times. Number three, they're always asking for help and they're never willing to help someone else.
Basically, they're emotional children who are feeding off of you to get their emotional needs met.
Number four, they always act like they don't get the attention they deserve or the appreciation they deserve, and they display a lot of narcissistic injury when that doesn't happen. Number five, they're always complaining that you never listen to them, and yet they never seem to listen to you either, no matter how many times you spend hours listening to them. Number six, they think everybody's life is better than theirs and easier than theirs. And even if you've just been through the biggest trauma of your entire existence, they blow it off like it's nothing. Number seven, they're never happy with you or anyone else in their life, and they always have to argue or fight or cause drama. They thrive on drama. I know, you're shocked. And that brings me to number eight, that is that it's usually their fault, this drama and upset that they cause in their own life and the lives of the people that are around them. Number nine, people often push away an emotional vampire. Healthier people, people who haven't had their entire lives destroyed by narcissists or other toxic people, very often push away from emotional vampires instinctively. Unfortunately, people who have had themselves, their lives, or their self-esteem destroyed by a toxic person in the past tend to be ripe for the picking for emotional vampires. When we recognize them as emotional vampires, as narcissistic people or toxic people, we very often go no contact. Number 10, emotional vampires often act helpless. Like they can't do anything without someone else helping them, even though they're not willing to help someone. Number 11, they use seduction as bait.
It can be somewhat seductive. They can lure you in only to leave you feeling completely drained out of all energy afterwards. So look out.
What is life really like with an emotional vampire? They literally kind of drain the emotional energy of all the people around them. They're not out for blood. They're out for your feelings, your emotions. They kind of feed on your emotional energy.
You may feel physically like you just need to sleep, and emotionally drained, it may make you moody. It may make you feel like you are doing something wrong and you don't know how to fix it.
They're always in crisis. They're exhausting. They need constant attention.
You may feel anxious, depressed, or like having mood swings that you don't normally have when you're around these people.
And they're so good at getting those emotional reactions from us that they need to feed off of. And that's true whether they're positive or negative.
For myself, mostly I just feel tired, so tired, like I can't function. You know, like you just can't get out of bed tired. And that's usually a sign that someone around me is toxic and draining my energy like an emotional vampire.
Does that sound familiar to you?
Unfortunately, I have never heard of a narcissist who has successfully changed, nor has anyone else I've ever interviewed or worked with in the past. If you don't believe me, I understand. That's why I'm going to share with you a few of those opinions in a brief clip right now. It's only going to take a minute, so be sure to stick with me. Let's roll it.
If anything, they tend to get worse over time, not better. At the domestic violence shelter I worked at, they had programs for violent men, basically, that had been abusive, and it was kind of this domestic violence rehabilitative type program. And what a lot of places were finding that it was making them worse, not better.
If somebody has full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, no.
When you've got that person that's kind of locked into that fight reflex, their behavior is a reflection of their mindset. And if a person's mindset is all about dominance and deceit, and it's all about winning at the expense of everybody else, that's deep-seated pathological behavior.
My understanding of the mechanics of the disorder are such that if they have that rare diagnosis, they will, as an intrinsic element of narcissistic personality disorder, they kind of have to reject therapy. They have to reject help from the outside and help within their most intimate and vulnerable spaces.
An abusive person, by and large, that's so deep-seated in their personality that I think if they were to change, it would take decades. And I personally don't believe that there is any effective treatment out there. But even if there was, a person has to actually want to change.
Anyway, the bottom line here is that when you love a narcissist, you love someone who is not capable of loving you back. And it hurts. It hurts down to your soul, causing a deep ache that is nearly indescribable. Loving a narcissist hurts in a way that most people will never truly understand. And that's part of the reason that when you try to discuss your relationship with people who haven't been there, they never seem to quite get what you're talking about. They'll either minimize your concerns or even try to help by offering more standard relationship advice, which unfortunately can be quite unhealthy for someone who's dealing with a narcissist in so many cases. For example, if you're feeling unheard in a healthier relationship, the standard advice might be to sit down and have a conversation about it, or to even go to counseling together to work it out. But if you do these types of things with a narcissist, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to use it as an opportunity to manipulate you and the counselor, given the opportunity, and this can just re-injure you and make you feel even more miserable. So let's talk about how love bombing and idealization play into self-isolation and toxic relationships. Now, at first, if this person is a friend or especially a romantic partner, this will seem almost natural. I mean, you might find yourself sort of foregoing time with others for a while, voluntarily, and this is pretty normal up to a point at the beginning of a new relationship. But when you're dealing with a toxic narcissist, it isn't just that you're dealing with a normal sort of early relationship infatuation. Instead, something a lot more sinister is going on here. On a deeper level, whether consciously or not, the narcissist has a goal to isolate you from other people, both for the reasons I mentioned, as well as because it causes you to become more dependent on the narcissist. This ensures that not only will you stick around until they're done with you, but also that you'll be more easily controlled by the narcissist. And in so many cases, you might find yourself self-isolating as a result of emotional exhaustion, the kind that you deal with when you're constantly bombarded with narcissistic manipulation tactics and games they play with your head. And as if that wasn't enough, you might also develop crippling social anxiety during one of these relationships. Worse, narcissists seem to instinctively exploit our basic human need for connection, and they use this to control and manipulate us. How? Well, let's talk about it. So do you remember the time when you first met your narcissistic ex and you thought that they were your soulmate? You could not believe that everything you loved, they loved, and everything you didn't like, they also didn't like. And then they would be so sweet and charming until their narcissistic side came out anyway. At first, they were like a dream come true for you, and they became eventually your worst nightmare. But what you didn't know then is that the narcissist, they had their own underlying psychological issues, likely starting in early childhood. It has a whole lot to do with the fact that their mothers, I know if it's not one thing, it's your mother, but their mothers and their attachment style. Attachment is defined as a deep and enduring emotional bond that connects one person to another person. Attachment theory basically helps us to understand our relationships and how our relationships with our mothers could affect us and our lifelong development, and even our relationships with others in really profound ways. This is where you might actually find a narcissist. Someone with a dismissive avoidant attachment style certainly appears to be emotionally independent and is likely often a little bit afraid of committing to a relationship with a single person long term. So they have commitment issues, right? They would have had parents who were either not around a lot or were negligent in their care in other ways. They might have been ignored or abandoned or undervalued in childhood. They felt rejected, they felt not good enough, they felt unwanted, and one or both parents might have been completely absent for this person. Their needs may have been partially served, but not fully. For example, maybe they got plenty of food and they were bathed on a regular basis. They had clean clothes, but nobody held them, or at least not often enough. They might also have been rejected by their peers as they got older, and they might have lived their lives feeling just not good enough entirely. This would leave them afraid to trust people in general, and as a result, they might be really likely to be dismissive of other people. They tend to cover up their insecurity with a sort of false sense of self-confidence. But when someone is dismissive avoidant and they manage to find a secure, loving relationship and they take the time to work through their own issues, well, they actually can manage to have healthy relationships. But unfortunately, for most narcissists, they don't develop the emotional maturity to do that, and they stay stuck in that attachment style. Let's talk about which attachment style the narcissist represents, shall we? As I mentioned earlier, while technically a narcissist might classify themselves under any of these categories, they're most typically identified as the dismissive avoidant attachment style, which is why they maintain a certain distance when it comes to their relationships and why they make you feel like you're unwanted or unneeded, even if they clearly depend on you completely for narcissistic supply and, well, anything else. The dismissive avoidant style leads to being overly self-reliant, or appearing to be that way, and downplaying the importance of relationships. But they're quite vulnerable when it comes to a big crisis because they don't handle a crisis very well. Now, they may have a super inflated opinion of themselves, and they can be very critical and suspicious of other people, which makes their relationships pretty miserable for anyone involved. Now, this is where you're going to find the overt narcissist, or the more kind of in-your-face narcissist anyway. But the covert narcissist can actually fall into the avoidant, fearful style, which seems a little counterintuitive since their victims can also fall into this category. So let's talk about the wild card attachment style, which is fearful avoidant. Many people who could be classified as codependent might fall into the fearful avoidant attachment style. As adults, fearful avoidant types might become overly dependent on their relationships. While they might have had similar experiences in childhood, the difference between whether someone becomes a narcissist or a more empathic type of codependent would depend on how they deal with their own childhood experience when they are the fearful avoidant type. In either case, those who could be classified as fearful avoidant, they tend to be absolutely terrified of rejection, and they are constantly dealing with inner conflict. They sometimes thrive on drama, and they are nearly always suffering from low self-esteem. They are definitely prone to anxiety when it comes to relationships, whether they're super clingy or they're constantly avoiding intimacy. So how is it that a codependent people pleaser could potentially fall into the same category as a covert narcissist? Well, it is the codependency factor. Both narcissists and their victims could be, according to psychologists, considered codependent because at its most basic level, codependency represents someone who has sort of lost themselves or never found it in the first place. Even though the narcissist cannot really feel compassionate and emotional empathy, they certainly can watch and learn what you like and how you want and need a connection. The narcissist can really only express cognitive empathy or superficial empathy or agenda-driven empathy. They just know that you have a need for connection and they're going to do anything they can to exploit it, but why would they do that? How would it benefit a narcissist to exploit your need for connection? I got two words for you. Narcissistic supply. They need it and they will do whatever they need to do to get it, including pretending to care about you and expressing false empathy. Just for reference, I'm going to show you a quick section of a recent video where I talked about this in detail, and then we're going to talk more about exactly how the narcissist uses your need for connection against you. The fact is that narcissists cannot put themselves into your shoes. They cannot understand any type of pain that you feel because they're not capable of it on an emotional level. But this explanation isn't quite thorough enough because it leaves so many of us wondering, but what about all those times they did seem to be empathetic? How is that possible? So I know what you're thinking. If narcissists are not empathetic, then how could they ever act like they are? Isn't this how empathy works? To be aware of and to choose your actions based on someone else's feelings, or at least the understanding of those feelings? Well, yes and no. What is false empathy then? Well, false empathy is sadly used as a manipulation tactic by narcissists when they want something from you. Since you value connection and empathy, as most non-narcissists do, the narcissist knows it will help them get what they want from you. So they pretend to care how you feel. See, when it comes to narcissists, they are unable to feel emotional and compassionate empathy. But at the same time, they're well aware of the fact that other people value empathy, and because of that, they might demonstrate false empathy. Wait, what? Yeah, this is why it's so confusing and so difficult to detect a narcissist early in a relationship. Let's talk about the narcissist's sort of empathy deficit, shall we? Here's the thing. When we say narcissists have no empathy, we don't necessarily mean that they're not capable of figuring out how you feel. What we mean is that narcissists don't feel empathy in the same way as most people do. They have no compassion, no remorse, and they don't feel regret unless they regret a choice they made because it negatively affected them in some way. So in other words, the narcissist is capable of understanding exactly what you think or feel on a cognitive level, but not an emotional one. They can think about what someone else is feeling, but it doesn't affect their emotional state directly, nor does it play a part in how they treat the other person. The exception is when the narcissist thinks someone feels negatively about them. This situation will make them feel angry, offended, and generally upset, and that usually manifests itself in narcissistic rage and narcissistic injury. The truth is that while narcissists find it very easy to learn the motions on how to appear empathetic, they're usually just imitating what they've seen others doing, and that is exactly when they're using false empathy.
Just wait till you hear the rest. What are emotional vampires really like? Emotional vampires tend to have very low self-esteem, even though they may appear to have really high self-esteem. They, like narcissists, have an excessive need for validation, an excessive need for admiration. We call that narcissistic supply over here. They're very self-centered. They're always talking about how everyone either loves them or hates them, or how everyone's mean to them or super nice to them. They might think they're pathetic, or they might think they're amazing. So the point is, this is a specific type of person, but what you might have is someone who seems totally positive and awesome and actually kind of sucks the energy from you, sucks the life from you, as it were. And you might have someone who's just a poor me type. they're just, oh, poor me. And you just always feel obligated to do something to make them feel better. They're always sad, posting sad stuff on Facebook, whatever. It's all about getting attention. Whatever they're doing is to get attention. Maybe they brag about their kid too much, or maybe they brag about some other accomplishment too much, or maybe they just won't shut up about something else. Either way, they're always seeking attention. They're always seeking validation, and it's never enough. You cannot be enough for an emotional vampire. If you're dealing with an emotional vampire, chances are you might also be dealing with a narcissist. So how are you supposed to manage that? Well, take a look at this.
What to do as a survivor dealing with an emotional vampire is don't deal with the emotional vampire. Get away. Get away as fast as you can from people who drain your energy like that. If you have to deal with someone like a boss or a coworker that you can't get away from, then minimal information, minimal personal information, minimal conversation back and forth. Have some script that you use, some niceties, you know, some words to appease them so they feel they got their supply need met, so to speak, and they can walk away. I mean, we don't want to fuel people with a bunch of supply, of course, but when you're in a situation like a boss or someone you just can't escape, then it's better, I think, to take the path of least resistance so that you're not wasting your energy worrying about what they're doing and trying to figure them out or trying to fix the situation. You can't fix it. You just let them be and let them move along as fast as you can with as minimal contact as you can. We talk about some of this stuff in the group coaching evolving group, which is on Wednesday nights. And it's a really great topic, especially when you get multiple people talking about it at once. So if anyone's interested in that, you can find that in the links below.
When you are dealing with a narcissist, chances are that you have put up with your fair share, if that's such a thing, of verbal and emotional abuse and manipulation from them, to say the very least. Maybe you have a narcissistic parent who favored your sibling and taught them how to torment you as well. Maybe they were all in it together. Maybe there's an aunt or an uncle or a cousin who's a narcissist, or you're married to one, or you're in some other way involved. You work with them, they're your neighbor, whatever. But in any case, whoever the narcissist is in your life, whoever they happen to be, you probably already know by now that you absolutely cannot trust them. A narcissist will never have your best interest at heart, even when they're your parent or your spouse. And that's because they are completely and only focused on their own needs being met at any given moment. Your needs don't even come second. They literally do not concern themselves with what you want or need at all, unless it benefits them to do so. So now that you understand all of that, I'm going to share with you 7 reasons that narcissists just have to hurt you. Number 1, repeated episodes of abuse and manipulation. Narcissists are creatures of habit and they are quite predictable. Sometimes you might even wonder if they have a narcissist playbook because they all seem to have nearly identical patterns. If you're dealing with a romantic partner who is a narcissist, you might have initially thought they were your soulmate. After all, it seemed like everything they liked, you liked, and they seem to want the same things as you, and they just seem like they totally got you. And if it was a friend or a family member, you may have initially assumed that they had your best interests at heart, or at least that they loved and cared about you unconditionally. But as time went on and life happened, guess what? You saw that it was far from the case, as you began to see their true narcissistic colors. Narcissists treat you terribly, and they will condemn you in a heartbeat if it serves them to do so. Even looking at them the wrong way seems to provoke them into a narcissistic rage. As one of their primary sources of narcissistic supply, you also become an emotional garbage dump for them. They will take out their anger on you, and they'll take out their frustration on you, whether or not it's related to you. And they'll do it over and over again. But you don't walk away, because you love them. It hurts to love someone who is abusive to you and who is cruel to you in every way. That brings me to 2, narcissists kill your dreams. Despite the narcissist's best efforts, something in you secretly or otherwise has desires and things you want to make happen in your life. In other words, you have dreams and you have wishes just like everyone else. Let's say, for example, you have this desire to move to some tropical island after you retire. You scrimp and you save to make this happen, but rather than supporting you and being there for you, the narcissist just doesn't hesitate to start laughing at you and telling you you're living in a fantasy world or whatever. Even though they don't support your dreams and they do actually the opposite of that, something in you believes them. You think, maybe I am just being immature, imagining stuff that really isn't possible. Ultimately, though, the narcissist's negativity is enough to often destroy any hope that you have for the future, and that hurts like hell. That brings me to number three. The relationship is far from reciprocal. You might find yourself giving everything you have to the narcissist and that they just take, take, and also take. They never give back. They almost literally can't give back. And if you ask a narcissist to do you a favor in any way, they'll only do it if there's something in it for them. So they might do you a favor, but only under certain circumstances that benefit them. They have to get something out of it, or they most definitely will not do anything for you. And of course, these conditions are often not ones that you can realistically meet. For instance, if you ask them to watch the child that you have together for, I don't know, an hour or two so you can go to the salon, they'll say, sure, I'll do it, but under one condition. And it's something much bigger than you're asking for. Here it goes. So maybe they want to go on a trip with their friends for a week. And that means you will be the single parent to the child while they are having fun for a week with their friends. And they probably won't even call you while they're gone unless they call at the exact moment they know you're too busy to deal with them. And then they're going to complain that you never talk to them when they call and say you don't love them enough. And this will lead you to yet another episode of you bending over backwards to prove your love for them, all while managing the house and the kid and the pets alone. Meanwhile, they're sitting on the beach laughing with their friends about how they've got you wrapped around their little finger. Yeah. Anywho, this brings me to my next point. Number four, your needs always come last with a narcissist. You are always having to put the narcissist's needs ahead of your own. And whether you intend to do so or not, you most definitely have put your needs on the back burner if you're in a relationship with a narcissist. In fact, if this narcissist is a family member, you might not even be fully aware that you're allowed to have needs and wants. The narcissist makes it very clear that they are superior to you, above you, so much so that they literally will not allow you to take care of yourself at all in some cases because their needs and their wants come first always. Not only is this emotionally, physically, and otherwise exhausting, but you often end up feeling guilty for even wanting to take a shower or even to go to the doctor when you're not feeling good. Personally, I remember feeling guilty for wanting or needing anything in my own toxic relationships, and this brings me to my next point. Number five, narcissists are boundary busters. The narcissist doesn't care if you have boundaries or rules. In fact, they actually feel like you're not allowed to make choices for yourself in many cases. They do not take you or your boundaries seriously at all. In fact, they're going to walk all over you without a second thought, actively and intentionally crossing your boundaries one by one. Of course, since you love them, you tolerate it, but you don't recognize that over time, your boundaries are pushed so far back that they're almost entirely gone. For example, if you're married to a narcissist and they suddenly become best friends with someone they are clearly and painfully attracted to, and you can tell this based on the way they act around that person and about that person, you might have a real and understandable problem with this. But instead of understanding that they are crossing an obvious boundary that any married person would have an issue with, the narcissist will tell you to stop being so jealous and insecure, and they'll say that if you are going to accuse them of cheating on you, well, my goodness, they might as well just go ahead and do it, despite the fact that you have never accused them of anything but just question this so-called friendship. Of course, they also have double standards, so you won't be allowed to have a similar best friend. And that brings me to number six, smear campaigns and secrets spilled. If you were to go against the narcissist's wishes, or if you go no contact with them, then they won't hesitate to go out of their way to ruin your reputation, and often your life. They will share private information about you that could even be damaging to you through social media or other avenues, and then they will even do stuff like even contact your boss and tell them all the reasons why they should fire you. And of course, when it comes to secrets, no matter how much they swear they're going to keep them under wraps, you gotta know that you can never confide anything serious in a narcissist and expect confidentiality. Even if you didn't let them down like they thought you were going to or whatever, and they don't decide to conduct a smear campaign, they'll still leak out those secrets, especially if those secrets give them the key to the narcissistic supply they need in some way, you know, attention or whatever. Narcissists have no integrity. You always want to make sure that if you are confiding in someone, it's someone you can trust, and a narcissist never fits that bill. That brings me to number seven. Narcissists are big fat liars. They are pathological liars. We know this to be a fact. They will never be truthful about anything unless it happens to benefit them in some way. Sometimes they lie just for the sake of lying. Nope, I'm not kidding. If you're dealing with a narcissist, you might as well always assume that whatever they tell you isn't true, or at the very, very least, you need to take everything they say with a grain of salt. Never expect honesty from a narcissist. They're always going to feed you lies. So just remember, you cannot trust them. Bottom line here is that no matter what, we know for a fact that it hurts to love a narcissist. Remember this, even if they promise not to hurt you, they most definitely will. They absolutely do not have your best interest at heart, and many of them have no idea what that even means. Narcissists not only cannot love you back, but they leave you feeling battered, drained, and depressed. You'll feel anxious, you'll feel worthless, you'll feel like you're not even a real person in some cases. Obviously, the best thing you can do for yourself is to go no contact and break things off, or go low contact if you must remain connected due to sharing kids or business together. We all know that's not always possible, but that is the ideal solution. But my friend, you've got to take care of yourself, because the narcissist never will. Not in the way that you deserve. And what you deserve, in case you forgot, is to be loved in the same way that you love. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to live in a home where you don't feel fear and anxiety every time they're around or their tires hit the driveway. You deserve to have a life that you love. Please don't forget. You matter. This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, can you relate? Do you or have you loved a narcissist who threw your love back in your face to hurt you over and over again? Do you believe that it's possible to love a narcissist without being hurt? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.